The Lord is moving in this place already. I'm so grateful to the Lord for these times, you know. We've had very, 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 very different meetings. All three services last week and the two before this, very, very different, very different. The Lord is moving very, very clearly. He's speaking very clearly to each group of people. So I'm going to preach hopefully very short, and then let's see what happens. So I was praying and saying, God, what do you want to share? And I really feel that this is, you are the people that he wants to say this to. And I got a picture of a number of things. The first one was a mirage. Do you know what a mirage is? It's not a type of airplane. I'm thinking about the mirage when somebody is walking in the desert, and they need water and they're thirsty and they look, and up ahead, you think that you see water, an oasis, or you know, and it looks like, you know, there's something shimmering, and it looks like I can get drink there, and you start to walk towards it, and when you get there, it just disappears. And it's just sand, and it's just dry. The second picture I got was of a container, and it's interesting because in all the pictures, they were all things that are supposed to deliver water. So the other one was of this container, like a big water bucket, and it can be carried and it can be used to put water into a cattle trough or whatever, and it's a container and it's made to hold water and it's made to bring water, and yet when I approached it, it had holes in it and it was completely empty and dry. And the Lord was showing me pictures of something that seems to be what it should, but it isn't really. And I was thinking about a gentleman by the name of Ravi Zacharias. You've heard what happened. Most of you will know him. A great apologist, a great defender of the Christian faith, a great evangelist who's seen many, many people come to the Lord. And he died, and after his death it came out that actually his life was not what it seemed to be. That there was this undercurrent of sin and abuse that shouldn't have been there. And it's shocking and it's saddening and it shakes us to the core to think about how can this be. The Bible tells us that actually those images, the mirage of the oasis, the water container that should be full but isn't, I say this very humbly, not in judgment. The hypocrite, the one that says and preaches a certain way, but his life is the opposite. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Zarina, I didn't give you notice, but you got it? From verse 1, it says this, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. Jude chapter 1 describes the same kind of people. And it says in verse 12 and 13, these people are hidden reefs at your love feasts. Do you know what a hidden reef is? I know what it is as a surfer. A blemish. It's something that is dangerous and lurking just under the water. I went surfing in Indonesia, and the water looks like glass, and it's beautiful, and it's like, you know, whoa, this is heaven. And you paddle out on your board, and as the wave sucks up, underneath it goes dry, and it's like sharp glass, this reef there. And if you fall off and you land on that, trust me, I did, you end up scarred and scratched and torn and bleeding. And these people are like hidden reefs. They're not what they seem to be on the surface at your love feasts. As they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds. Does that sound like a mirage to you? Waterless clouds, swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. Oh my goodness. These are people that are dangerous, that are among us. Jude continues in verse 16 to 21, and he says, these are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. Sure. And finally, in 1 Timothy, another description of the same kind of people. Now the Spirit expressly says, 1 Timothy 4 verse 1 to 2, that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. People who aren't what they seem, who speak lies and not the truth. Sure. Trust me, when I was listening to this last night, I was also saying, sure, Lord, heavy. Doesn't it feel heavy? Yo, those are hectic warnings, aren't they? But they're in the Bible. They're warnings about the fact that people will come and they will seem to be what they're not. And they will speak things, and they will tear, and they will divide, and they will complain, and they will grumble. And there will be hidden reefs to try and tear and destroy the church. If you think of that kind of a person, which people in Jesus' time would you think were those kind of people? Any ideas? Anyone come to mind? The Pharisees. Pharisees and Sadducees. Okay. Well, that's interesting, because in Matthew chapter 23, we read this. about the Pharisees. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but do not do the works that they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others. For they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the place of honor at feasts, and they love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Sure. In Matthew 23:13, Jesus says to them, woe to you guys. He says, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Wow. Wow. Hectic words. Woe to you. Woe. So, there are those people among us. No, I'm not going to point them out to you now. But you know what happens in difficult times? Is people like that start to hurt the church by slandering and gossiping and complaining and tearing the church, by being disobedient to their leaders and to the elders. Do you know that that happens? I don't know why you guys are the ones who are going to get the benefit of this preach. It's not because you are these people necessarily, no. But maybe you know some of them. Maybe you talk to some of them. Now the Bible says that in God's house, He has set ways of doing things. And He has put certain people to be over the house of God. Elders, deacons, leaders in the house. And Timothy was the lead elder in the church in Ephesus, I discovered yesterday by listening to Richard, who was teaching us as elders. And the Apostle Paul gives Timothy certain instructions and charges over the house. And he says to him in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation. If you're wondering what you're hearing now, it's exhortation. To teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. The Apostle Paul is giving an elder an instruction. And the first instruction he says is, Timothy, you must be an example. He doesn't say you must teach well, or you must worship well, or you must lead well. He says you must be the example in your life, in your teaching, in your conduct, in your purity. Don't be a hypocrite. The elders must be the example. I've had the great privilege of getting to know your elders well over the last few months. And I can tell you, these men here and their wives are this. They are living examples for us. It's a beautiful thing. All of them, without exception. What a joy. What a joy to be part of that team. What a joy. This is one of the reasons why our church is so blessed by God, is because these things are in place. But now it's interesting because he goes on in 1 Peter. Now Peter is instructing the elders as well. Let's see what Peter says. And you're saying, Lucas, where are you going? Wait. Here we go. 1 Peter 5. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but by being examples to the flock. Is he saying the same thing? Be an example. Lead well, eagerly, willingly, gently, and be an example to the flock. And then he says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. That means obey them. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. And why? He continues by saying, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And he says, be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that your brothers throughout the world are being tested and tempted in just the same way. And so where we are so far, because it feels like, where are we going? Number one, be careful, because there's going to be people among us that are going to be dangerous. How? They're not going to be what they seem to be. They're going to grumble, and they're going to complain, and they are going to lie, and they're going to try in a devious way to lead you astray. That's the first point. The second point is, God has put his house in order, and over his house he has placed elders. And what are they to be? They are to be examples in their life, in their conduct, in their purity, in their speech to the flock. Examples. Leaders who are servants. Leaders who are pure. And then what does it say? It says in Hebrews 13, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So God says, there's going to be dangerous people, hidden reefs, but I'm giving you something that's going to help you to avoid them. And those are elders whose lives are going to be worthy to follow, who are going to be examples. As they follow Christ, you are to follow them. You are to obey them. You are to submit to them. They are, and Peter is exhorting the elders, and he says, shepherd the flock. Shepherd the flock. And Psalm 23 talks about the great shepherd, the perfect shepherd, Jesus, and how he shepherds the sheep. And what is his desire as a shepherd, which is the same desire as the elders for the flock? He leads them beside still waters. He restores their soul. He anoints their head with oil. Their cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the goal, the point, the reason we have elders, shepherds, is so that we might be led to still waters, so that we might be led into green pastures and fed well, so that we might be protected from wolves and bears and lions, and so that we may be blessed and dwell long in the house of the Lord. Are we all together? Jesus, when he was preaching, he stood up the one day and he said, come to me, all who are thirsty, and I will give you drink. I will give you water. When he met the Samaritan woman at the well, he said to her, would you get me some water, please? And she started to talk to him, and he said, if you knew who was with you, you would have asked him to give you living water. And if you drink of that water, you will never thirst again. And so let me now pull all of that together for you. Do you remember the pictures at the beginning? That which promised to be water but wasn't? The containers that are supposed to be full of water but aren't. Every one of us is called to be a water carrier. Jesus said, those who believe in me, from within them will flow rivers of living water. That water will flow out of our lives, into our families, into our communities, into our workplaces, into our schools. Every one of us is called to be a water carrier, a spirit carrier, to overflow with the river and the presence and the Spirit of God. Every one of us. And my question to myself last night, but to you this morning, is when people come to you to drink, are you full or are you empty? Are you full of the Spirit, full of the Word of God, full of Jesus, or not? Because we should be full. We should be full of Him. And we heard the Lord speaking at the beginning in the worship. He's saying, I'm drawing you to myself. I'm drawing you to me. Come to me so that you might be full. Come to me so that I might fill you. But what happens is we become dry. We become dry. We become distracted. We become, and then sometimes we still try to be a water pot, but there's no water in us. Anyone ever been there? And if we stay in that place for a little bit longer, we become like those people that Jesus warns us about. We become those who seem to be godly, but they have no power. We become those who are supposed to be full of Jesus, but are only full of themselves, their own preferences, their own ways. And I felt the Lord actually speaking to us as elders, saying, you need to speak to those people. You need to direct them. You need to lead them back to the water. You need to lead them back to the green pastures. But you also need to use your rod and your staff and bring some discipline and bring some encouragement and bring some... Does that make sense? And so I want to encourage you, if you are approached by your elder or by your comm leader and they say, hey, Joe Soap, how are you serving in church? Hey, how are your quiet times? How are your... Don't become offended, but submit. Respond well, because you're going to find that's what the elders are going to start to do. As we're walking amongst the sheep, we're going to pull you out of the thorns. We're going to put your face back in the green grass. That's what we're called to do as elders. And the other thing is, as you're walking as nice sheep, you might bump into somebody that bites you. Most sheep don't bite each other. What you'll find is that often it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. And what should you do as a sheep? Elders! Help! And you're going to find that there's going to be some discipline coming in our congregation. The elders are going to be using their staffs to encourage everybody to be good sheep. And to get the wolves away. Why? So that we can be filled with God. We can be filled with the Spirit. And we can overflow with His life and His love to everyone around us. Amen. Like, wow. You've got a question. I love it. Yes. Yes, come.
So this whole entire week, from the beginning, I've started going to do post-matric and stuff, and I've been, it's almost like, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie God's Not Dead, the first one. So right now, my English teacher and I kind of have that kind of vibe going on, and so since the first lesson, it's just been, I really felt like this love, just to be able to love on her, you know, and doing that, I could feel that if I'm not remaining in God, I'll not be able to do that in the first place, and if I'm not remaining in Jesus, then immediately after that lesson, I could feel, you know, like the Holy Spirit and His powers, like I almost felt drained. I'm like, God, I need to be with you now. I need to spend time with you. And so I could feel the enemies like giving me so much things throughout my day that I can barely spend any time with God, to the point where I'm literally 10 o'clock at night done with my homework, and then I have to press into Him. And that's when it gets difficult, and that's where there's got to be self discipline, and I've got to really, really be intentional. But the good news is, as long as we're remaining in Him, He remains in us. And I think since the beginning of this meeting, I wanted to be able to pray for us, because I felt God saying, even right now, it's just been like very, very heavy about remaining in Him. And apart from Him, we can do nothing. Apart from Him, we have nothing, and apart from Him, we are nothing. And so that is a very, very important thing when it comes to being able to love others. I even remember having a meeting, and it's just Psalm 23 when it comes to being able to shepherd. You've got to be first shepherd. You got to be, God has to shepherd you before you can shepherd others. And that is beautiful hearing that. And just to see that that's the same thing. It's to remain in him first, or else you cannot be able to. Then it's just this boring, cute, pity love. It's not God's perfect love that is manifested through us. So we can see that those words, be shepherd, you need to be shepherded by God in order to shepherd others, and that's cool. But when that sinks into your heart to the point where it actually manifests and becomes real, I want to pray for us that when we live the word of God, it becomes reality for every single one of us without compromise, without any sense of going up and down, but we're actually being able to remain in him all the days of our life, just to dwell in God and to dwell and enjoy his presence and to be able to share that with one another. So I felt, just for those that are capable, I just want to ask if we can almost, as a act of humility, to actually, when we pray, to pray on our knees, just to show God, like, the heart of where we're coming from. For those that can, go on their knees. But yeah. Father God, I want to pray for every single one of us that you will do whatever it takes to bring us down from those high places, those dangerous places, Lord, that you'll keep us on our knees, Lord, bare before you at your feet, God, all the days of our lives, that we are kept lowly before you, humble before you, God, and that through you and you alone are we able to live like true worshipers, truly after your heart, God. And I want to pray for every single one of us that you will make it our ambition to lead quiet lives and to mind our own business and do as we are told, to do as you told us. And even if it means when it comes to elders, I thank you for the trust that we can have where we are safe and to be able to love each other without getting hurt. But there are times when it's difficult, because we are all still remaining in you. And some of us, when we're not remaining in you, we find that it's difficult, Lord. But apart from you, it will be difficult, in fact, impossible. So we pray that each and every single one of us remain and abide in you and reflect your love and likeness towards one another. But it starts from you. And it starts from spending time with you, getting to know you and being loved by you and loving you. And only then we're able to actually let that become a reality in our daily lives. So I want to pray for each and every single one of us. Thank you for our elders. But even if they weren't as they said, Lord, I pray that our love that we have is true, and that when we live before you, God, that we will live knowing that they would be rewarded in full. But our goal is to simply love you and be loved and to be able to share that, Father God. So I pray for every single one of us, for a joy to stir up and that desire to stir up in of us to be able to love and just to love and to love and be compassionate for one another, even when it's hard, even if we feel like we're being illy treated, Lord God, but that we will be able to know that, Lord, they will be rewarded in full, but I just want to love on them, God, and that can only be possible from remaining in you. So we pray this in your name, that this becomes a reality the moment we leave this building. That it's awesome hearing these words, but they will simply remain idle words if they do not rest in our hearts and manifest. Pray this in your name. Amen.
this picture that I keep getting from the beginning of the service is influenced by Carol's t-shirt. She's got a beautiful butterfly on the front and the back of her t-shirt. And I keep seeing a butterfly, but it's like the vein, like, you know, the skeleton of a butterfly, if you can imagine, just the outline. There's no color. There's no life on that butterfly. And I feel like the Lord wants to encourage us and remind us that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead, which means that he is able and willing and desires to bring us back from the dead. There are areas in our lives that have died during this time and are still, we're struggling. I just had such a strong sense that there are people sitting here feeling hopeless, still feeling hopeless, still feeling like, gosh, I don't know. And I really just want to remind you that Jesus rose from the dead. Therefore, he is able to bring life. And he wants to bring life, and he wants to restore that butterfly. And he's going to bring back the color. And he's going to start pumping blood through our veins again. But all we need to do is hope again. Return to your first love and allow him to fill you with hope again, because he is alive.
When Lucas was sharing, I was reminded of the scripture that I read in the week, and it's Psalm 62, verse 11 and 12, and it says, "One thing God has spoken, two things I've heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love, and you reward everyone according to what they have done." And I just feel so, like, even reading this, I feel two things. Like, it brings home again such a healthy fear of the Lord, like a reminder of who he is and what he's called us to do. And it's also an encouragement to me that there's power in him and in his name and unfailing love. And it's when we go to him, we abide in him, we're full of him, that we get out, we get to go out and do what he's called us to. And he rewards everyone according to what we've done. I'm very encouraged, and I just wanted to share that.
I think for me, there was such a, this is a challenging one that Lucas just shared. And it's a challenging word for the elders, for every leader in the house, and for the saints. Because it's for all of us. And Lucas started off with someone that was very strong. He gave an example of Ravi Zacharias. Was very strong. And remind me of a king in the Old Testament, in the Bible, King Uzziah. And the Bible and the word says that he was marvelously helped by God until he became strong. Until he started thinking it was him. Until he started making his own plans, doing it his way. Until pride started setting in. And he forgot where strength actually lay. And as is that reminder when Lucas shared about mirages. I think is that challenge for each and every one of us. That the world is full of mirages. It's full of things that look like they're real, but they're not. It's full of things that looks like a strength, but it's not. It looks like it's good, but it's not. Because the kingdom doesn't work like the world works. And that's what we need to see the way God sees. Because it's easy to shift. It's easy to start in a place where the Lord starts doing stuff. And then you forget it's actually the Lord. I think that's a challenge for us. That we know what is real. Because the way the kingdom works is, we only can receive strength from God if we know that we are weak. If we start thinking we're strong, and that's our strength. We can only be forgiven if we know we're sinners. We can only see how great God is if we know how weak and needy and dependent we are on Him. So that's our position. And I feel the Lord's, even though that prayer that just went out, when we went on our knees, and most of the scriptures Lucas shared was humble yourself. That if you are humble, you'll be exalted. But if you want to exalt yourself, you will be humble. And it's our position. Is our position, Lord, we need you in every single area. Because outside of that, it's a make-believe thing. It's not a real thing. And I think that's the warning. When, as Luke's his first sentence when he shared, it was like a warning to us. That whatever the Lord is doing in us, let us remember it's the Lord. Let us stay in a place of humility. The Lord is not us. Lord, you give the glory. And the Lord will continue doing more and more and more. But the warning is, and a lot of those men, I think some of their stories, I think it's men that started in the Spirit. It's people that started in God. And then people started speaking soothsayings. People started complimenting them. They started doing well. And there was a shift of, like King Uzziah, who was fully dependent on God for years and years and years as king. But after years of seeking the Lord first, there was a shift of, I am strong. And I think one of the warnings for us is, let us never be strong. Let us never have plans like, oh, I got a better way to do it. Let us be a people that is humble before God and we wait on God. And we say, Lord, whatever victories you've given me is yours. Whatever things you've done, whatever accomplishments I have is in you, Lord. And then we come again before Him. We wait again. We don't have, oh, it worked out well the last 10 times, but Lord, it was you. We don't start thinking it was us. So Lord, I just pray for each and every one of us, Lord. That we will be a people that wait on you, Lord. That we will wait humbly before you, Lord. We will never have plans and things we got better ideas and things we want to do it in our time. But we'll be a people that wait on you and follow you, Lord. So Lord, I pray, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you keep our hearts soft before you, Lord. That we always remember that whatever strength we have is from you, Lord. That we were dead, Lord, and you saved us, Lord. That any life we have in us is in you, Lord. And that you are our King. And Lord, like King Uzziah, Lord, even when we're in high places, even when we accomplish things, even when we are kings in our areas, in our spheres, in areas of our lives, that before you, we will be humble, Lord. Because outside of you, we can do nothing. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. and have your way in us. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, so one of the things that Lucas said, and, you know, Gideon and Loni, and, you know, is that the Lord wants to share His love. But we have to have that love first. He wants people to be able to come and drink of the water that we have. And if I think of that story of the Samaritan woman, she went to the well looking for natural water. But she received some supernatural water from Jesus. She went there empty. The whole life she'd been trying to fill herself with different things, and she had four or five husbands, and she was busy with the next man now, trying to find fulfillment. And when she met Jesus, she got some fulfillment. He spoke into her life, and she knew that she had met with a prophet here, with a man of God, and she had spent some time with him. And it says that when she went back into the city, she told the people about Jesus, and it says that because of her testimony, many people in the city became saved. And I was reminded that that woman didn't have a lot of experience in eloquence and preaching the gospel and know all the scriptures, but she had just spent some time with Jesus. And because of that, she was able to go and give some other people in the city some living water. They were able to drink, and they believed. They believed in Jesus because of her testimony. And if you look at the type of woman that she was, the Lord used her. And the Lord wants to use each and every one of us in that way. Right now, like Gideon was saying, for us, it's our duty to spend some time with Him at the well, so that other people in life too, many people right now, they are at times in their lives when they are at a well point, and they are dry, and they are thirsty, and they are looking for life, but they have none. But then we come along and we have some water to give them, because we spend some time at the fountain of life. Amen.
Hi. I don't often do this, but I really felt like it's been on my heart since I woke up. Yeah, I didn't think I was going to do this, but anyway. For like the past month, it's been really on my heart about how the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I've seen so much happening amongst my friends, like so much bad things. And I ask God, like, how do we find happiness when all these bad things keep happening? And it became clear to me this morning when the topic of humility came up. Let me use a demonstration. If I exalt myself, and I'm full of pride, I have no humility, the further I'm going to fall. I'm going to fall a lot harder. But if I'm already lying down in surrender, I've given it all to God. I've given my finances to God, my family, my joy, my soul. I've given it all to God. The enemy can't steal it because it's in God's hands. And I can't fall because I'm humbled. I'm lying down in humility. I'm in surrender to God. So the enemy can try and take away the things that we think makes us happy, our worldly things, but he can never steal our joy if we surrender it to God. So, yes.
So the Lord's encouraging us to abide in Him, to be full of Him, to wait on Him, to be with Him, so that we can be containers full of Him. And some of us need to lie on the floor, to humble ourselves a bit, to get low, to let go of those things that He doesn't want in our lives. It takes humility to take the mask off sometimes, not the COVID mask. And just to be real and say, God, I need You. God, forgive me. And to get His strength so that we can, like Declan said, be like that woman at the well, to go and share with everyone around us the living water, Jesus. Father, thank You for speaking to us today. Thank You for Your presence with us today. We love You, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If anybody would like some prayer, if anyone would like